glad to have everybody here today. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning in May. We're so delighted that you've come to share with us in worship. I met some guests this morning that are here with us, some in town for a wedding, one as far as Pennsylvania, a couple former pastors here. One pastor described himself to me as an old retired pastor. I said, well, that's good. He said, I'm really not retired. And I said, no, old pastors never retire. We just go out to pastor. That's right. And I understand you all are on your 50th wedding anniversary, having a trip, and congratulations to you. Yeah. And congratulations to you folks here seated behind who had a wedding in your family. And I understand, did you officiate, Pastor?
No.
That's good. That's the best kind, isn't it? Great to have you folks with us. Thank you for being here today and making our church part of your plans. It means a lot to us, and we hope you feel very welcome and that you will find our worship meaningful and helpful to you. Also, I want to say that my family is here today, and typically my immediate family, but our out-of-town family is here today. My aunt, Lamika, from Columbia City, Indiana, is here. That's near Fort Wayne, if anybody doesn't know where that's at. And then Terry and Linda Stockner, Patty's sister and brother-in-law, here from Perrysburg, Ohio, and that's near Toledo, Ohio. So welcome to all of you as well. And glad to have everyone here. Nice to see you all. Thanks to everybody who was able to come out yesterday to our home for a celebration party for our son Mark and his graduation from high school today. Meant a lot to us, and we've said this before, and we'll say it again, you guys are our family, and we mean that. Not just church family, but you're also part of our family, and we love you all so much, and I'm grateful for you, and appreciate you very, very much. I want to just make you aware of a couple things before we get into the message this morning. We have a tradition here at First Baptist of supporting the Pregnancy Support Center. And typically we do this between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And how we do that is we receive a special offering. So some years we've used baby bottles, most years we haven't. If you would like to contribute to the Pregnancy Support Center here in town, you can do so through the church here, make your check payable to First Baptist Church, and just mark Pregnancy Center in the memo portion of your check. And we'll receive these offerings now through Father's Day. So if you'd like to do that, wanted to make you aware of it. Also, our regular offerings are received every Sunday morning, and we have a plate here in the front and one in the back as well, and encourage you to give as the Lord has blessed you, and give prayerfully as you feel led through those blessings. You might have noticed this morning that there's no direct scripture, but I'm going to be sharing a lot of scriptures this morning with you, and you'll see why as we go on. First of all, I like to say congratulations to you, Mark. I think you're the only graduate here. Are there any other graduates here today that I don't know about? Okay, so it's going to seem like I'm speaking directly to Mark. And in some cases, I will be. Yeah. I'm going to have some fun, but I'm also going to have some serious moments. So I want you to know that, Mark, that this is a, but also want you all to know that I believe you will find more than enough in this message today for yourselves as well, and things that you can apply to your daily living. Mark, this is a time of transition for you, and up until this moment, this is the biggest transition that you've had in your life. And it's a little bit bittersweet for my wife Patty and me, because Mark is the youngest of our three boys. So he's the last one to complete his final high school education. And a couple of weeks ago, Mark, I think you probably remember, and I won't say what you said, but I told him, I said, I wish you could have just stayed little forever. You know how it goes. Yeah, Monty's clapping. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I agree, Monty. I agree. I appreciate the support, too. Thank you very much. But Mom and I are so proud of you, Mark Thomas Bilyeu. We're very proud of you. And we love you so much. And this is a conclusion today of one part of your life. But, and it's also a conclusion of a part of your mom and my life as well. It creates a different environment for us. But I want to remind you, and I guess myself and all of us here today, today is not just an ending, but today is only a beginning. And so it kind of is reminiscent of a lad who visited the Grand Canyon with his dad and family on a family vacation. And his dad gave him a diary, and he said, "Now, son, I want you to take this diary, and I would like for you to document some of the things that were important to you on this trip. And I want you to make sure that you include all the insights and all of the observations that you see." So, like a young lad would do, he's at the top of the Grand Canyon, at the top of a very high cliff, and with all of his might, he hacked and he gagged, and he let out a great big spit and spit as far as he could, down that cliff to the Grand Canyon. And so that seemed to be a very thrilling experience for him, something that was really exciting and something that he wouldn't soon forget. And so that night, he recorded the events of the day. So later that evening, his father walked into his son's room to check on him, as he had already fallen fast asleep. And he saw his journal there, and he couldn't stand the temptation. He just had to open the diary. He just had to look inside and see what his son wrote about his observations and about his experiences. And he read these words: "Today, I spit 2 miles." Quite an accomplishment. Quite an accomplishment to spit 2 miles. Mark, you've had a much bigger accomplishment than that today. Quite an accomplishment. It was Yogi Berra, the great Yankees catcher and later coach and manager of the New York Yankees, who said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." Mark, you've come to a fork in the road today. You have taken, in some ways, today I want to encourage you to take the road less traveled, though. A young man, I'll share a story with you about a young man who was getting ready to go to college. And for many, many months, he had been admiring this red sports car in the dealership in his town. And he knew that his father could well afford it. And so he went to his father and he said, "For graduation, Dad, I'd like for you to buy me this red sports car." As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs that his father had purchased that car for him. He was so excited. And finally, on the day of his graduation, his father called him in to his private study in their very fancy home. And he said to him, "Son, I'm proud of you. You've been a fine son. You've been a great son. And I want you to know how much that I love you." And he handed him a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious, but also somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box. And he found inside of it a lovely leather-bound Bible with his name embossed upon it in gold. He was angry, and he raised his voice at his father and said, "With all the money you've got, and that's all you could get me was a Bible when I told you I wanted a sports car." He handed him the gift box back, and he stormed out of the house. Many years passed, many, many years, and the young man was very successful in his own right. He realized that when he thought about his father, that he must have grown quite old by now. They hadn't spoken since that incident. On that graduation day. And however, before he could make arrangements to go back home, he received a phone call from the funeral home director. And the funeral home director told him that his father had passed away. and that he had willed all of his worldly possessions to him. He was told that he needed to come home immediately. When the son arrived to the father's house, sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through all of his father's earthly possessions and all of his important documents, and guess what he found? He found that Bible. It was still there, looking brand new in the box, just as it had when his father gave it to him all those years ago. With tears in his eyes, he opened up the Bible. And he turned through the pages where his father had carefully underlined Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, which reads, "And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to those who ask him?" As the son read those words, a car key dropped out from the back of the Bible. It had a dealer's name on it. It was the same dealer that the son had gone to look at that sports car. It's the one that he wanted for his college graduation. And on that key was a tag and the date of his graduation and the words written, "Paid in full." Many times in life, we miss out on God's blessings. Many times we're not aware and we find hidden treasures in what God is willing to provide for us. Mark, I want you to know this morning that Mom and I are not giving you a red sports car for graduation. You may or may not be relieved that we also are not giving you a Bible that's embossed with your name on it. You have plenty of them being a preacher's kid. However, I do want to give you some Bible verses today that are meaningful to me, that have helped me through life. And I hope that they will be meaningful to you, and I hope that you will apply them to your life. I want to talk to you just a minute, all of us here, about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harms." Don't hang out with idiots. Don't hang out with fools. Don't hang out with people who are going to lead you astray and off your path. Choose your friends carefully. This applies to all of us, right? Choose your friends carefully. Hang around with people that are wise, people that have experience in life, that have, with God's help, made something of themselves. Choose them wisely, and then listen to them and learn from them. And if applicable, apply some of the things that they tell you to your life. Take from them the knowledge and the wisdom that they have. But knowledge is important. And what you've gained the last few years and what many of these people in the congregation have gained in their educational processes through the years is knowledge. It's knowing facts. You know, you used to hear the teachers say, "We teach to test." You know, you have to know facts in order to do well on a test. But wisdom is different. It's having an experience. It's having experience, it's having perspective, it's having good judgment and being able to use that good judgment. Someone has said, and I think this is really well and sums up what I'm trying to say, is knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. So you might know a lot, but you don't always spew out everything you know, because people don't like that. But sometimes if you have wisdom and it's in the right time, in the right situation, you share that and know when to say it. Today is Graduate Recognition Sunday here at First Baptist Church. And it's been our custom over the years and tradition to recognize those who have been promoted in junior high or coming up through high school or college or graduate school. And every year those numbers fluctuate a little bit. It's graduation day, but it's also referred to as commencement. I can't remember what your high school graduation said on it. Was it commencement or graduation service? I'll look later. But anyway, commencement is defined as a beginning, a start. And the Latin word for it is inutium, like a beginning, a introduction, an initiation ceremony. So today, Mark, is a graduation, but it's a commencement. It's not an end, even though it feels like it, but it's a commencement. It's a beginning. It's a formal ceremony where you're going to receive a diploma. I hope the first of a couple more. I remember it was back in about 17. Mark, you might remember this. Mom, you and me and Jeff Lydell went to see the band Chicago and the Doobie Brothers. Do you remember that? Yeah. We thought, Mark's not going to enjoy this. But he did. He liked it. We all went to see the Doobie Brothers and Chicago. And Chicago, if you know me, that's one of my favorite bands. And if you're in my house or if you're in my car, you see me driving around town and the windows rolled down and the radio is blaring, it's likely a Chicago song. 25 or 624, Saturday in the Park, you know, all the great old Chicago songs. The one I'm going to reference this morning is a song that was one of the very first songs before really anybody knew who Chicago was. And it was in 1969, and they first released a song called Beginnings. And it's kind of odd that I'm using this song, so I just want to say that. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship between two people. But I want you to hear the words, some of the words. And it says, when I'm with you, it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing, I'm with you, and that's all that matters. And I've had many moments like that with Mark and with all three of my boys, where it doesn't matter what we're doing, it doesn't matter where we are, what matters is that I'm with them and they're with me. I've had many great experiences like that. One of the best of your high school experience, Mark, was last spring when the Comets, the Greenville Comets, played at Busch Stadium. And Mark Bilyeu has hit 1,000 batting average at Busch Stadium, I'll have you know. That's better than most of the Cardinals on the roster this year. Then the next verse says, time passes much too quickly. And it sure has. Mark was in second grade. He was about this high when we moved here. And Bev Stewart taught Mark on Wednesday nights with a couple other children, Bible stories, and that's when we moved here. And he rose up through the ranks and has done the majority of his education right here in Greenville. Time passes much too quickly, the song says, when we're together laughing, and I wish I could sing it to you. I love to sing, but if I sing, I'm going to cry, so I'm not going to. The last verse says, only the beginning of what I want to feel forever. Yes, only the beginning of what I want to feel forever. Only the beginning, only just the start. And if you play the extended version of this song, it has an awesome, cool percussion at the end of it. That's amazing. And like many songs on the radio, they repeat over and over again, only the beginning. Only the beginning, only just a start. Mark, today is a significant milestone in your life. You're graduating high school. You're concluding one part of your life and the beginning another. Really, it's only the beginning, only just the start. Now, I want to be serious here now, and I want to share with you some verses that have meant a lot to me in my life, and I hope they will to you as well. The first one is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I already attained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on toward and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Life is a race. Some say it's a rat race. It's a race, but the type of race that we're talking about, and I think Paul is talking about here, is more of a marathon. It's not a sprint. You don't have to finish quickly. in the race. You keep on running. You train like you're running for a marathon. You steady your pace for a long, long journey. And it feels like you've got a long life ahead of you, and you do, but it goes quickly. And in this letter, Paul's goal is finding out what Christ's goal for him is. What is the goal that Christ has for you? What is the goal that Christ has for me? And I want to tell you, and I tell all of us here today, that Christ will always supply that need. Christ will always supply that need. All the things that we need for that journey as we press on toward his goals for our life and try to determine what those goals are. And that in the end, we win a prize, and that is the ultimate goal. In the Greek time of Scripture, they were rewarded for winning a race with a crown of leaves called laurels that were crowned on them, and sometimes they even got a little money, like you did yesterday. So it's important to win the race. However, it is also important to win, but to pace yourself so that you win. Mark, run the race in a way that you win. Run the race in the way that you win, that you do Christ's goals for your life and win his goals for you. This next verse is my life verse. It's the verse that I've applied to everything that I do as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a Christian. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This means that we do everything that we do in order to please God. Not for you, not for me, not even for all of these people. We don't do things to please humanity. We do things to please Christ. And it is Christ that is the strength that we need. Paul's not speaking of physical strength, and you're young today. You're still very young. I can tell you, as I've aged, I've lost strength. Uncle Terry can tell you that he's lost even more. Sorry, Terry, couldn't help it. Terry's a little bit older than I am. You can get me back later, buddy. So anyway, Christ is the source of that strength, but that dissipates with that age. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to tell you that there are times when you feel like you've got all the strength in the world and that you can do anything. And those are great times. But there's times in life when you're going to need to call upon the name of Jesus because you can't do it. You may not want to do it. Do it anyway. You may not love or like a certain person, but Christ does love them and died for them. Love them anyway. This next verse is Colossians 3:23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Serve everyone. We had our party catered yesterday in part by Chick-fil-A. They always tell you when they give you your order, it's been a pleasure serving you. They serve you. The difference in other places that you go. They enjoy serving you. Sometimes it's going to require you to do more than you're willing to do if you want to serve someone. But the goal ultimately is to hear the words of our Savior when we arrive in heaven, well done, good and faithful servant, and that you win that prize, that you receive that reward. You may not give the recognition that you deserve or even want in this life. Many times you won't. You do things quietly and go about your business, and God will bless you for it more than you and I can even think or imagine. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to the completion of the day of Christ Jesus. What he's speaking about, what Paul is speaking about here to his letter to the church at Colossae, is that the work of Christ, he began it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day he comes. Mark, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he began a work in you. And as you are maturing and growing in wisdom and stature, God is continuing that work in you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And one day he will complete it. Not that we have gained perfection, but we work toward it and we keep working toward it. All of us here need to be about that. I know in this world today, and I'm one of them, many of us are worried. Many of us get discouraged and down and even to the point of being anxious or depressed. This is a common thing in our world today. But God has a plan for us. God has a plan for all of us. And God will guide you. God will direct your path. And never, ever, Mark, never, ever doubt your salvation. Never, ever listen to the devil. Never, ever listen to someone who tells you you're not good enough or what you've done is too bad for God to love you and care for you, because it was God's gift to you when you first accepted him in your life. And you, as well as me and all these people in here, were all works in progress. And God is still working out his salvation in all of us until the day, with a capital D, whether he comes back or calls us home, then it will be complete. Then you will see him face to face. Then you will understand why life was the way it was. And all a lot of the things that we worry about won't matter. The next one kind of goes along with it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want you to be very careful, and I want all of us to be very careful who we listen to. As you go on to school and in the college level, you're going to run across some professors who think they know everything, who know all the things about the world, and they're going to try to get you to do things. Like this one professor that I read about in preparation for this sermon told all of their students, write Jesus' name on this piece of paper and put it down on the floor and stomp on it. One student out of that room said, no, I'm not going to do it, and walked out. Let that person be you. Don't let any person tell you ever that you should stray away from Jesus Christ. You're going to find a lot of people who think they know a lot of things. Read it and learn from them what you can, but always run it through Scripture. Always run it through the faith and the things that your mom and dad, me and mom have taught, mom and I have taught you. Along those words also is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. I know from talking to you and to other people, people worry about life. Worry about what's going to happen. The Bible says, in fact, it was Jesus himself who said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body or what clothes you're going to put on it. Isn't the body more important than clothes? But then Jesus goes on to tell them, he said, the pagans even do that. You're not a pagan. You don't do that. But Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow, because it worries about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. For the last 18 years, Mom and I have provided pretty much everything you need with God's help and the love of our supporting family. And probably you're still not going to have to worry too much about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. But I am here to tell you one day you will. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's coming, right, Jake? Yeah, it comes. It comes. That's my middle son. So anyway, things have been provided for you. And you don't need to be concerned, but there's going to come a day. But I want to remind you that God says, look at the lilies. That's basically, look at the flowers of the world. Look at all the flowers. He takes care of them. Look at all the birds of the air. They don't store up. They just go about what they're doing, and they worry about just that day. They do what they do in that day. This is difficult, but there will come a day when you realize that God will provide all that you need. Not everything you want, but everything that you need to do what you need to do. I'm almost finished. Romans 12 says, Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transforming the renew of your mind. I read that already, didn't I? Yes, okay. The part that I want to say, though, is about his good and perfect and pleasing will. God has a good and perfect and pleasing will for your life, Mark. Last verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And he will direct your path, or he will make your path straight. That is to say that God will remove the obstacles from our lives if we look to him and lean not on our own understanding. And there's times, even today, that I catch myself leaning on my own understanding. And I have to remind myself every day, don't lean on just what you know. Lean on the wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and apply that to your life. Mark, commit your way to the Lord always. Trust him. Be ever mindful of God and serve him all the days of your life, because then he will take care of you and lead you in his perfect will. Well, there is one more scripture. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Excuse me. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Appearances to the contrary notwithstanding, the Lord has not and will not ever forget you. Even though this world is a messed up place, God is still in charge. God is still on the throne, and he will not forget us. Ever. Never, ever, never. He's not forgotten his people through the years, centuries, millennia. And his plans are never, ever to bring any of us harm. His plans are always good and pleasing and right and just. And his desire is to make our path straight so that we can have an abundant life, a good life, a Christ-honoring life filled with hope for the future when we listen to him and we seek him. Mark, seek Christ with all your heart, and you will always find him. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he promised his disciples, and he promises you and all of us, he will be with us to the very end of the age. Amen. Congratulations, buddy. I'm proud of you. In just a few short hours, I might let out a big holler and get kicked out of the high school gymnasium. But while you feel it's just an ending, it's only the beginning. It's only just a start. God bless you. Amen. What's our hymn today? Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision. Number 468 in our hymn books. The words will be on the screen. Please stand together with me as we conclude. And if you're haven't accepted Christ, you'd like to be baptized, you reunite with this church, rededicate yourself, just step out and meet me here in front. We won't embarrass you or ask you to say anything. We'll rejoice with you as the angels in heaven rejoice when one comes to know Jesus as Savior. That's the most important decision, the wisest decision that any of us will ever make. I hope that all of you here today have made it, and if you haven't, know that I'm always happy to speak with you about it. Let's sing together.